Revelation. While you're turning there, let me remind you, Labor Day picnic is coming up a week from tomorrow at noon out at camp. Come ready to share in fellowship and great food and some fun. And remember, as it's already been mentioned, Kids Sunday this coming Sunday morning. And we're looking forward to that. Then the Christian Education Appreciation Banquet is this coming Friday night. Okay, praise the Lord. So be mindful of that. Pick up a bulletin on your way out. And there's calendars back there if you haven't got one of those. Well, you might as well wait till September now, right? August is already almost gone. Good to see Sister Petrie here. Always good when she can be in service with us. She is a Pentecostal through and through, I tell you. I go to see her when I can, and we just talk, and she reminisces about Pentecost and the services, amen, and just lets me know, amen, that she's still got the fire down in there. Amen. Hallelujah. And so isn't God good? Good to see Kristen here tonight. Amen. And I suppose this is a friend with her. And so good to have them in the service. Praise God. God is just a wonderful God. And we just appreciate all He's doing. I don't know. I want to take a few moments in the Word tonight before we come around the Lord's table of communion and celebrate this ordinance together. I just felt kind of as a last moment as I began to prepare and finish this sermon and conclude it, I felt just a drawing to partake of communion together tonight. And so I appreciate you coming. And I like to have communion at least every quarter. And things have just kind of been so busy and been out of town here and there and not really been able to share together. So I said, hey, tonight we have an opportunity and we're going to jump on it, okay? So we're going to share together in communion in a few moments. But before we do, let's go to John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29. Praise God. Oh, you guys are too quiet. But maybe you're listening. All right, John 1 and 29. If you're there, say amen. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a passage. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The same John that wrote the Gospel of John, but not the same John that declared, behold the Lamb, wrote this passage in the book of Revelation. So turn over there with me. Revelation 5, 4 through 10. Revelation 5, 4 through 10. And there went out another... Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. I had it marked, but I actually had the wrong side of the column here. Revelation 5, 4 through 10. This sounds much better. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a what? A lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou who hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the power of the Lamb. Lord, I just come to you, Lord. Help us to share together, Lord, in a few moments around the table of the Lord's communion, doing this in remembrance of the legacy of the Lamb of God, which was slain from the foundation of the world, that we could be here tonight enjoying freedom from the slavery of sin. In Jesus' name, every Pentecostal in the house, say amen. 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 Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to speak for just a few minutes on the legacy of the Lamb. Let me, I forgot to mention, we're going to be having church here Wednesday night. Does everybody remember that? We got youth service going on. The Cruises are going to be on vacation this week. We want them to have a good time. And so Brother Thomas, I believe, is speaking back in youth. So youth, come out, be a part of that. Amen. We're just looking forward to what God is doing. And then we'll be having service here in the sanctuary as well. Praise the Lord. Invite a friend. Amen. You never know what God will do in their lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. The legacy of the Lamb. I was thinking this week, I know that all of us at some point or another have either received an inheritance or thought a lot about receiving one. How many know what I'm talking about? A rich uncle. Right? Maybe we've even prayed a lot about receiving one. Lord, let me be in that rich so-and-so's will as a beneficiary. Be that as it may, it's something that's very, very familiar to the human experience. And although we may not really understand all the ins and outs of inheritances and legacies, all of us, though, in some sense or another, have received a legacy of some kind passed on to us. And if it isn't a great amount of money or some worthwhile object that is left to us, there's mementos and of the lives of the people that were very dear to us, and maybe a little memento was passed along to us, and we cherish that. There are people who have their children. Sometimes their children grow up and leave home and get married and move away, and all of a sudden, all the little things that belong to that child becomes especially meaningful to that parent. Any parents in here know what I'm talking about? I remember after I left home, talking with my dad on the phone, and I guess he and Mom had been in there and kind of taken what used to have been my room, and they was kind of remodeling and just moving stuff around, and he asked me about something that was mine, and I said, Dad, it's really of no use. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Oh, he said, but that's your old. And he has actually a computer, my very first computer. And I said, Dad, it won't even boot up when you turn it on. Get rid of it. Oh, no, don't want to do that. So when I was home a couple weeks ago, guess what was still in the house? Still there. One way we can pass on what is most important to us in life is to consider the world after our time in it has passed. Consider what we can do or should do to help those who will remain after we are gone. Some people in the secular world, they think of this in terms of leaving a personal legacy, that people will remember them and look up to. And that's all obviously admirable. But for the Christian, how many know we already have a legacy to admire? It's the legacy of the Lamb of God. And how many know our job is to live out the legacy of the Lamb of God? We must act upon the inheritance that He has left us. No, it was not a physical riches as a bank account, or so to speak, but it was spiritual riches that outlast the physical ones any day. Can I hear an amen? I mean, our job is to help others see the legacy of the Lamb more clearly by what we do with our lives. And our text is a prophetic declaration uttered by the mouth of the Apostle John, pointing to the answer for a hopeless world of his time. Now, in Scripture, I like to remember the legacy of the Lamb is a threefold legacy. More on that in a minute. But and it's good to remember that Christ's past legacy should become our present ministry as a church. And church, we live in difficult times, times of great uncertainty. We live in times of consternation and instability. And the obituary of Christianity and the church, how many know it has been predicted, both inside the postmodern church and inside our culture? Many religious leaders have arrived at what they feel is an inevitable conclusion. They feel that Christianity in America will not survive the 21st century in any viable or sustainable manner. I read that and I say, I beg to differ. Amen. I beg to differ. They must not know their church history. Right? For even though housing markets crumble and the stock market plummets, and though our banks fail, there is one institution, beloved, that is still alive and is still existing, and it is the church of Jesus Christ. And I believe that there is a remnant. Oh, I feel like preaching. I believe there is a remnant in this generation. I hope to think that there's a remnant in my generation that stands poised to experience one of the greatest transformative Christian movements of our history. This movement can affirm biblical truth. I believe it. There's still time for reformation in our culture. There's still power to transform our political discourse. There is still time to usher in a fresh spiritual awakening. Hello, young people. I'm talking to us tonight. I am convinced, church, that the best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. And at the end of the day, this is not going to be a political movement driven by the expediency and the agendas of a man, but rather a movement driven by the power of Pentecost, the Christ of the cross. And let me tell you, that's part I'm talking about, a legacy of the Lamb of God. And so I want to go into part one tonight real quickly. It is a legacy, first of all, of fire. Everybody say fire. And I'm talking, when I say fire, I mean Pentecostal power. Because here it is. The same man that wrote our text, John the Baptizer, said over in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, he shared this aspect of the legacy of the Lamb of God. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. This legacy of the Lamb stands driven by nothing other
other than the power and the fire of the Holy, Holy Ghost. It's not an agenda of a political donkey. It's not an agenda of a political elephant. Hello, are you going to help me tonight? It's an agenda of a lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. And at the heart of the Lamb's legacy stands the church of Jesus Christ of the last days, which was birthed at the cross, which was contracted in the empty tomb and was delivered in the upper room with power. And listen, Harry Potter and Hogwarts and J.K. Rowling's writings with all of his biblical allusions and metaphors only begin to scratch the surface of the real spirits that are at work in this world today and that are at work in this culture. There is a spirit of Pharaoh. Although Pharaoh's been dead for years, the spirit of Pharaoh is alive. He is holding people captive with the bondage of Egypt and sin. I begin to think this week the spirit of Goliath still lives, mocking and intimidating the children of God. The spirit of Jezebel still lives, making men and women hide in caves through her perversion and her intimidation and her manipulation. I begin to think of the spirit of Absalom that divides homes, divides churches, divides communities, divides relationships. The spirit of Herod continues to target the young men and women, born and unborn, murdering the infant potential that every young person in our pews have. Listen, yet I've got some good news for the church this evening. There is a spirit more powerful than all these spirits combined. Church, we need to say, God, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Woo! I'm getting stirred up. I said, I'm getting stirred up. Church, we need to tell the world, a world that a culture that's been shaken by violence, that is bound with fear. Listen, the most powerful spirit alive today is not the spirit of Pharaoh. It's not the spirit of Absalom. It's not the spirit of Goliath or Jezebel or Herod. The most powerful spirit on this planet is none other than the spirit of Almighty God. I said it's the spirit of a lamb. And listen, for Zechariah said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, Jesus told the church, you shall receive what? Power. Woo. After this Holy Ghost is, oh, hallelujah. It is a spirit, the Holy Spirit, that gives us as believers power to do exploits like Daniel said that the remnant would do in the last days. Huh? I'm not just talking about power to get the shakes and the quakes. Huh? And to have our Pentecostal bakes. Not just power to build sanctuaries and host television, radio ministries. I'm talking about power that brings good news to the poor. I'm talking about power that brings freedom to captives, brings sight to the blind. I've been praying this week, Lord, do it again. Lord, power to declare this is the year of the Lord's favor. It's the power to love mercy and to walk humbly before God. You ask me why we are Pentecostal in our worship. Well, it's part of the legacy that's been passed down from Christ to the church. And I am a Pentecostal. And so it's just part of who I am. I get excited when God comes into His house. I get excited when I realize that Jesus died for my sins and He saved me from a hell. I get excited. Why? Because it's part of my legacy. A legacy of fire. Secondly, it's a legacy of freedom. The prophet Isaiah spoke of this lamb as being led to the slaughter in chapter 53. And then he spoke of how this lamb's legacy would live on. And he said he would loose the chains and break the yokes and let the oppressed go free. And then Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 3:15, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, church, over 150 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, we still live in a world where people find themselves bound. Bound by sins of immorality and addiction and alcoholism and depression and loneliness and anxieties and fear and confusion and violence and anger. Listen, we're bound to past failures and defeats and held in the grip of unexplainable addictions. Have you ever noticed the addictions these days? I'm telling you, reading recently and watching it on the YouTube, some little lady with an addiction to nail polish. Hey, not just wearing it. I'm talking about eating it. Did you see that? She has to have a certain amount of money every day to provide for her makeup or polish that she eats. She craves it. I'm talking about unexplainable addictions. Who would have ever thought of it? Listen, do you know why there's so much bondage in our culture? Woo. It's because the enemy understands that the most powerful human on planet is not one with riches. Huh? The most powerful human on this planet is not the ones with guns and armies and fame and celebrity status. I'm telling you, the most powerful human on this planet is a person that has been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And the devil doesn't like it when we proclaim our freedom from his bondages. Why? Because when folks realize their freedom, they begin to act on it. I said they begin to act on it. And it was a free man who approached Pharaoh in Egypt and said, "Listen, King, you gotta let my people go." It was a free man who stepped into the promised land and declared, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." It was a free man who stared the giant named Goliath in the face and said, "You come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you with the name of the Lord of hosts." I'm telling you, it was three young, free men who refused to bow in a furnace of fire, and the freedom of the Holy Ghost burnt the It was a free man who prayed fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel and then shouted to the rebel King Ahab and said, "Listen, sir, you better get back to the city. I hear an abundance of rain." And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came on the prophet and he outrun. I said he outrun the king all the way back to the city. But yet the greatest expression of freedom came 2,000 years ago when hanging on a tree, a sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God. That was a moment you received your freedom. I received my freedom. Oh, hallelujah. And that's why John 8:36 says, "For he who the Son sets free." Woo, is there any free people in the house tonight? Woo. Let's just take a moment of freedom tonight and just worship God. I feel the power of God in this house. I feel the presence of God in this place. Woo! Thank you. true freedom is found in the person of Christ. Our freedom stems not from political preferences. Hello. And not from ideologies in D.C. Our freedom, I told you, it doesn't come from a donkey or an elephant. It comes from a lamb. Whew. Who the Bible says is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the angels are crying, holy, holy, holy. Whew. Our freedom comes from Christ, who said in John 8:32, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Huh? This legacy will be fulfilled when we rise up and we tell the world that in Christ, huh? In Christ, you can be free from your sin. In Christ, you can be free from your fear. In Christ, you can be free from condemnation. Romans 8 chapter and verse. Oh, hallelujah. I can be free. For we were baptized with Christ in the book of Romans, crucified with Christ in the book of Galatians, seated with Christ in Ephesians, strengthened by Christ in the Philippians, hidden in Christ in Colossians, ruling and reigning with Christ in the book of Revelation. I'm telling you, He is our freedom. I said He is our liberty. And listen, friend, that is the legacy that He brings into your life. Woo! I got to move on. Number three. And I'll be done. It's also not a legacy of fire, a legacy of only freedom, but a legacy of forgiveness. This is what our text says. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He takes our sins away, church, and gives us forgiveness because on the cross, the Lamb became the sacrifice. He became the substitutionary, sacrificial Lamb. And so if He had not been born, if He had not laid Himself on the cross, we would still, the Bible says, Paul said it, we would be dead in our sins. But here, notice, young Isaac asked his father Abraham, all the way back in the book of Genesis, when they made it to the mountain of sacrifice, Isaac said, Father, I see the wood. Father, I see the fire. But Dad, where's the lamb? So all the way through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges, and Ruth and 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, major prophets, minor prophets. Do you know the question of the human race kept echoing Isaac's question? They were looking for a sacrifice that would take away their sins. And that's why John the Baptist, hundreds of years later, I believe he got a little bit excited when he was chosen to be the one to answer Isaac's question, behold the Lamb. We've waited, we've anticipated, and He's finally here. Woo! Behold the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. I want somebody to stand to your feet and say, thank you, Lamb. Oh, thank you, you have come. I'm going to behold the Lamb that took away my sin. John the Baptist paved the way for this man of God, this Son of God. Oh, aren't you glad He died on the cross for you? Why don't you get a little excited about that freedom here tonight? Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Can you look at Him and say, behold the Lamb tonight? Can you let Him know that you appreciate the work that was done 2,000 years ago? Thank you, Jesus. Can I have just a few more minutes? False alarm. Can you sit back down? John the Baptist's response, "Behold the Lamb," paved the way for Paul to speak in Galatians 3:13, "Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." 1 Peter 1:9 says, "It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, the spotless Lamb of God." I want to talk just a moment about the cross. Because no other symbol incorporates passion and promise like the cross does. Two pieces of wood, one vertical, one horizontal. Do you know Madison Avenue and multi-million dollar campaigns have not been able to reproduce the loyalty and the commitment that folks have for a cross in our culture? They can't do it. I said the cross is both vertical and horizontal because that's where redemption and relationship meet. It's where holiness and humility meet. It's where covenant and community, salvation and transformation, sanctification and service. For too long in America, people of faith have lived either vertically or horizontally. But at the cross, both come together. The conviction meets compassion at the cross. Truth joins hands with mercy at the cross. And the legacy of the Lamb reconciles that. And let me say, in the legacy of the Lamb, I'll tell you, you could go deep in this because it's so rich. In the legacy of the Lamb, silence is not an option. If you have experienced the forgiveness of the Lamb of God, which took away your sins, then that's why Revelation chapter 5, we sung it, that when they laid eyes on the Lamb, it says they broke forth in song. It says, "Then I saw the Lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center." This is a summary of those verses. They were surrounded by four living creatures and 24 elders. But what are they doing? The Bible says, "And they sang a new song." That shows me that the Lamb's legacy activates the worshiper and motivates him to praise the Lamb that was slain. And you know, I know, 2014 in America, we've got some bad situations. On the home front, we've got men abandoning their roles as fathers. We've got children through abortion being slaughtered. We've got pornography has married technology, and now it's everywhere. Hello. God is mocked in our culture. Drug pushers are more admired than pastors and preachers and men of God. School grounds are turned into battlegrounds. Our neighbors all around us sit here paralyzed with fear. Hello. And our nation is begging for change. Listen, if that was really what we looked at and we capitalized on that, we would sing a sad song. Listen, we could get wrapped up into the gloom and doom. But listen, my friend, the Lord already said, these things will come to pass. But He says, when they do, if you're part of a born-again, Bible-believing Church of Jesus Christ, you need to look up. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Church, it's no time to sing a sad song. It's time to sing a new song. Huh? So you ask, why are Pentecostals so expressive in their worship? Well, there's a reason why we sing like we sing. There's a reason why we worship like we... Hello. The reason is we can't stay silent. The reason we praise the way we do is simply proportional to the work that God has done in us. And the size of our praise is directly proportional to the magnitude, I'm telling you, the magnitude of a burning hell that God has saved us from. Listen, in other words, if He saved you and all He saved you from was a little life of you were going along with moral goodness and at death there was no eternity. And if that was the case, then I could understand, you know, just giving Him a little bit of praise. But if He saved you, He delivered you, He's healed you, He's turned you around, and He spared you from an eternity in hell, then I think we should give Him some kind of highest praise. Why? Behold the Lamb of God. I'm talking about the forgiveness of the Lamb is made possible through the blood of the Lamb. And the antidote to our culture and spiritual diseases in our world is applying the blood of the Lamb. If you're here tonight and you've not had the Lamb's blood applied to your soul, listen, I'm going to urge you, encourage you, and welcome you to come and let the Holy Spirit work a work of conviction and then a work of transformation in your heart as He covers you, and then you'll be able to stand like they did in Revelation 5:9 and said, worthy, worthy. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who has taken the scroll and opened the seals thereof, because He was slain and with His blood purchased for God every person out of every tribe, every language, listen, every people and every nation. I'm telling you, they, God's children, listen, Revelation 12:11 says, we have defeated Him, we've overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb. I said, we've overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb. Some of us, let me just say something right here. Some of us in Broadway Assembly shouldn't be here tonight. Some of us should be in the hospital. Some of us should be in the mental ward. Some of us should be in prison or 6 feet under. But guess what? We're here tonight. We're not hospitalized. We're not in prison. And we are not dead. Why? Because we overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Tell everyone that's ever been broken, busted, and disgusted, the Lamb still lives on. His power, His freedom, and His forgiveness is here tonight. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's right. Glorify Him. Woo! Do you know what they said? In the early part of the 20th century, communist leaders declared that by the 21st century, which is our century, they said the entire world would embrace communism. And they said there would not be one Christian alive on planet Earth. In the 1930s, Nazi officials declared that the Third Reich would outlast the Christian faith. In the 1960s, the Beatles declared in the light of their Yankee Stadium concert, this is what they said, by the 21st century, they would receive more praise and adoration than the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I have news for you. The last time I checked, it's 2014. Lenin is still in the tomb. Hitler is dead. The Beatles are gone. But today, we're declaring that the church is still alive. I said the church is still alive. The legacy of the Lamb of God still lives on. Woo! Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let this be the generation not to be known as just the generation of Facebook, YouTube, iPads, and Twitter. But let us generation be known as a generation that lived out the legacy of the Lamb of God through fire, through forgiveness, and through the freedom. Now you stand with me and praise Him. I'm done. Woo! Let me remind you something. It's not hard to live out someone's legacy if their blood is flowing through your veins. Huh? I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. Pastor, how come you can't carry a grudge? It's just not in me. Because the legacy of the Lamb says forgive. Pastor, how come you can't be bound by this and that, and criticism or this and that? No, it's not in me. Because the legacy of the Lamb says I'm free. Huh? Why can't you just come to service and let's just have a calm, cool. It's just not in me. Why? Because there's fire in my bones. That's what the author of what scripture was it, Jeremiah said. He said, I tried to just bottle it up. And he said, they told me to not speak in His name. But he said, I tried, but it's like fire. I got it in. He's talking about the legacy of the Lamb. Oh, listen, church, rise up. I said, it's time we rise up. Lift up your heads. Listen, with the Lamb's legacy passed down to us, we can heal in the name of Jesus. We can deliver in the name of Jesus. We can stand for the truth in the name of Jesus. Behold the Lamb. I've got to close. Would somebody just one more time raise your hands and say, Lord, help me live out the legacy of the Lamb with fire, with freedom, and forgiveness. Ooh, I feel the presence of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. The world is crying for an answer. Souls are broken. Like in the book of Revelation, they're looking for someone to open their book of deliverance. They're saying, no one can heal me. No one can deliver me. I want us to remind them. We have found the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. To Him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be praise, honor, and glory and power forever and ever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a Savior. I want our ushers to come at this time if they will. Oh, hallelujah. This is one way we live out the legacy of the Lamb of God, as we remember that substitutionary sacrifice through the ordinance of the communion meal. So as our ushers, our men make their way. Woo, I feel the presence of God. This just might be the most powerful communion service we've ever had.